at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
We are back live right here from the Jersey Shore with the big, huge, 10th episode of PWP Radio. I'm right here in the heart of Jersey. Thank you for joining us tonight. I am your host, back from Kentucky and still feeling lucky. They call me All The Way Jay. I'm the owner and operator of ProWrestlingPowerHouse.com. I am Jay Aletto, and we are going to have an absolute great show for you tonight. But first and foremost, we'd like to get to a couple of announcements before we get the show on the road. I'd like everybody listening out there, whether it's on iTunes, which we need you to go over there to iTunes, subscribe, rate, comment, get the party started on iTunes at Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. But I need everybody to check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com for some great, fresh, original articles from wrestling fans all over the world, because that's exactly what we are. We are wrestling fans. We are a community, and we're trying to keep it that way. Everybody who writes on the page is obviously a wrestling fan. Different viewpoints, different topics, a lot of stuff from the independent wrestling vibe, but also TNA, WWE, ROH, everything that you need, we are providing for you at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We're always looking to expand our staff. So if you're interested in getting your work out there to our consistently growing fan base, please shoot me an email. The address is ProWrestlingPowerhouse@gmail.com. But please remember that email address, because we are also still looking for your top 20 wrestlers of all time list. We are trying to compile the definitive top 20 wrestlers of all time to ever step foot inside the squared circle. If you have sent your list in, I have it, and I appreciate it. But if you have not, I urge you, whether you're a part of our community or not, please send in your list, the top 20 wrestlers of all time in your mind, to ProWrestlingPowerhouse@gmail.com. We are looking for the definitive list. I'm going to take all the lists once I get them, put them all together. I have a point system set up, and we will find the top 20 lists. The great thing about these lists, folks, is they are all different and unique in their own special way. But right here, I'd like to introduce co-host of mine for the evening. He is Mr. JCD John.
I'm a madman. Yeah, I'm a madman.
Welcome to the show, Billy. John. How are you doing tonight?
Really?
I heard through the grapevine somewhere that you are an ass man. Can you confirm this news or not?
Yeah, I am.
All right, well, I know, speaking of, I'm glad you joined us. I'm glad you're here early, because I'm just giving a little plug right now, and I'm just about to plug, tomorrow night, there will be the debut of Oh, You Didn't Know? It's going to be a brand new podcast, brand new radio show live right here on the PWP Radio Network, starring yourself. I think you're the Billy Gunn of the group. And Mr. Seth Gutwrench, who is the former host of the SmackDown Rundown, you're going to be going over the top news and rumors from the world of WWE and TNA. So, John, tell us a little about what you have in store tomorrow night on Oh, You Didn't Know.
I'm not going to speak for Seth. I don't know what he's got, but I got more on the AJ angle, which I'm sure you and I will get to. And I've got one name already rumored for the Royal Rumble, and it's not Taker. And it's a big name from the past, so we'll get into that stuff plus a lot more tomorrow night.
Definitely check that out tomorrow night, folks, if you're listening. Please check out the debut of Oh, You Didn't Know. But right now, I promised this earlier today. I've been thinking about this all weekend. And before we get into Raw, before we get into Hell in a Cell predictions and our best and worst Hell in a Cell matches of all time, which there's a lot of stinkers and a lot of great ones. I hate using the word shoot, because I'm not a wrestler. I'm not really involved in the business at all. I've had a couple cameos here and there with ROH. But I just would like to get this off my chest. Right here in New Jersey, there's a couple of independent promotions including National Wrestling Superstars, the NWS, NWA New Jersey. They have been promoting and even advertising late great Chris Kanyon, the Mortis character. As everybody knows, Chris Kanyon died a few years ago. He committed suicide, and God rest his soul. But these independent companies are using these posters to put up around town to try to get people to their shows, advertising former WCW superstar Mortis with a fucking picture of Chris Kanyon dressed in the outfit. I mean, give me a fucking break, guys. It's one thing to actually try to bring back a gimmick from the past. I know there's a million Doink the Clowns out there. I know that NWS has used Golga before, even after the late, great John Tenta Earthquake passed away. But give me it. You're going to seriously use Mortis and use the picture. At least give it a tribute, man. I've seen tribute bands out there before that have tributed the Beatles and Pink Floyd, and they don't claim to be Pink Floyd. They don't claim to be the Beatles. It's a tribute. Now, a lot of people over the internet have been going off on this topic, including Mike Bucci, who you might know as Supernova, or Simon Dean. He went nuts on his Facebook page, and rightfully so. It's disrespectful to the late, great Chris Kanyon, and it's disrespectful to the wrestling fans and the business in general. You're trying to make money off of a gimmick that hasn't been around for 15 fucking years, and you're making all these wrestling fans, maybe some of these kids watch WWE On Demand and see these old Nitros with Chris Kanyon dressed as Mortis going out there and putting on a great show. Then when they go to these shows in their local fucking high school gym, they see this skinny retard dressed up as Mortis. I'm not sure who's behind the mask. I heard it was local guy Danny Inferno, who happens to be a pretty good guy, a pretty mainstay around New Jersey. But nonetheless, they don't know who's behind the mask. They think it's the same guy they saw in WCW, and it's absolutely appalling to me. So I hope that nobody goes to these shows where they are, you know, whether it's going to be Mortis or John Tenta as Golga or whatever the fuck they're doing. Don't go to these shows. Don't support these companies that are trying to exploit these deceased wrestlers. And I think it's a pretty sad thing. What about you, John? How do you feel about this?
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100% on it. I mean, you know, I've seen it somewhere that they, before you would put it up, that someone was running the Mortis. I didn't know about the Golga thing. Yeah, that's horseshit, man. I mean, to run off that you're going to have a guy that's dead, I mean, that's not cool. What's next? You're going to advertise the Pegasus Kid? You know, yeah, and for anyone who doesn't know, that was Chris Benoit's mask name in Japan. I mean, you don't do that. That's, you know, listen, I'm all for making a buck. I'm all for, you know, making money, and, you know, but there's a right way to do things, there's a wrong way to do things. And, I mean, it's one thing to advertise guys who are alive, who don't show. I mean, that's a whole other different realm of scumbag. But to advertise guys that are dead and have been dead for years and, you know, trying to use that as drawing power, yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's sad. And I just like to tell everybody, if you have access to a phone, please call in tonight. The number is 760-888-5749. We have a lot of topics to discuss, but right now I'm going to take my first caller. 310 area code, you're on with PWP Radio. What's your name and where you're from?
Yo, what's up, Aletto? This is KME. From
hey,
Los
what's
Angeles.
Up, Chris? How you doing,
Nothing
man?
Nothing much. Oh, yeah, chilling.
What's up? What do you got to say tonight to us, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio? I know you're dying for this Kofi Kingston heel turn. We've been hearing it for weeks. What do you got to say tonight?
It happens soon enough. I was just calling because I wanted to that Hulk Hogan stuff going on with Bubba the Love Sponge and all that.
Go ahead. What do you got to say about it?
I just wanted to know. I only heard Bubba the Love Sponge's side of it. I haven't heard the whole little sort. I know Hogan is suing him or anything. I was wondering if you guys could enlighten me on exactly what's going on and who you believe.
Well, it's a great question, Chris, and this is what I believe, my man. And I'm a diehard Hulkamaniac, a huge fan through and through, and I'm sticking with the Hulkster through this. I mean, I'm going to admit it. I'm going to bring it out to the world right now. I watched the beginning of the video, the clip that went out there. It's only like 5 minutes long. I haven't seen the whole video. But I believe that a lot of wrestling fans have watched it, but most people don't have the fucking balls to admit it like I do. But it does look like Hulk Hogan was set up. It almost looked like it was a not that I have any experience in this, but it looks like it was almost like a whorehouse or something, you know? The guy, you know, Bubba the Love Sponge is in the doorway, and he says, "You guys have fun, take it easy." The hot chick's laying on the bed, and Hulkster just starts hulking up, brother, and goes to town with this girl. He had no idea he was being taped. He even, you know, picked up his phone, said, "Oh, this could be Nick, brother," and it wasn't, whatever. He hung it up on whatever asshole was calling him. But I got Hulk's back on this, man. Bubba the Love Sponge is a scumbag, and we all know that.
I was on, when I was listening to that Howard Stern interview with Bubba the Love Sponge, he said that it was Bubba the Love Sponge's wife.
Yeah, it was.
See that kind of crap right there.
Here's the deal from, and this is from Bubba's mouth himself, because I have XM and Sirius, and Opie and Anthony had the clips the day Bubba addressed this. And Bubba went on a 30-minute tirade about it. But basically, long story short, and this is from Bubba's mouth, which makes it even 10 times worse of how big of a scumbag he is. Bubba stated him and his wife were swingers. They wanted Hogan to do this. Hogan did it. Apparently, when his divorce with Linda was starting, or his marriage to Linda was falling apart. This is like 3 years old, apparently. The biggest thing that incriminates Bubba and proves he's just the biggest scumbag in the world, the Hogan, was at the end of the clip, and I don't know if it's on the clip that's online. But
He says, if
I wanted to retire and make $1 million, we got it right now. So, I take a lot of shit Hogan says with a grain of salt at times, because I have the mindset that Hogan in his last 5-6 years is completely batshit crazy and delusional with a lot of things. But in this case, yeah, Hogan got completely set up, and Bubba's just a fucking scumbag, man.
Yeah, I have to agree. And Tammy, thanks for the call, man. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the support. You've been a good friend of mine for a long time. So thanks a lot for the call.
Keep hoping for the Kofi heel turn.
It'll happen, man.
Hey, check out the Saturday morning taping spoilers. You may have some hope.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Have a good night, man.
You too, man.
All right, that's a great question. I mean, the whole Hogan Bubba the Love Sponge thing kind of came out of the blue. Nobody knew who set Hogan up, and we found out that it was Bubba, and they were supposed to be, you know, great friends, and it just doesn't seem to be the case. But right now, moving along, I have to introduce my co-host. And I know he just got done playing volleyball once again, because I wouldn't be calling him Will Volleyball Vafidez, because that's what he seems to be doing. But I'm going to play this little intro theme for a second, so bear with me.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
4-time tag team champion.
I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
All right, I've had enough. I can only take so much of that song, Will. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great, because that puts a smile to my face. But not only do we have great theme music at TLDWrestling.com, but you forgot to talk about the great merchandise that's available. I mean, you get a chance to have your own TLD bear. It's only $85 to have your own TLD bear in your bed. You can have TLD in bed with you, and you can help sleep better. You got to go out and buy it at TLDWrestling.com.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, man. And we just talked a little bit about Hulk Hogan and Bubba the Love Sponge, but we're going to move on because we have a lot to cover tonight. And let's get into Monday Night Raw last night. It seems to be getting mixed reviews along the internet. And I got to say, there was so much to watch on TV last night between Monday Night Football, game between the Bears and the Lions is always entertaining. You had the NLCS Game 7, which you don't usually get a Game 7 in baseball. So you had San Francisco Giants against the All right, we got some noise. Who's making all that noise back there? All right, sorry about that. That was Will. All right, so we had the Giants against the Cardinals, Game 7, and we had the debate. So there's a lot going on, and Raw didn't seem to draw a great rating, but the show kicked off on a hot start, and we had Rhodes Scholars defeating Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio to become the number one contenders to the WWE Tag Team Champions of the World. Don't forget, make sure you listen tomorrow night. Oh, you didn't know.
That's gimmick infringement.
But Rhodes Scholars was victorious, and they will go on to Hell in a Cell and fight Team Hell No. And right now, I would like to hear your predictions, and I'm going to go to Will. TLD Vasquez first. Will, it's going to be Team Hell No versus Rhodes Scholars. Who do you think is going to win this match at Hell in a Cell?
Well, based on the results at the end of the show, definitely looks like Team Hell No is going to get their revenge. They got a lot of attention on Raw. They were in a lot of segments. They were in there for, and Rhodes Scholars definitely proved how good of a tag team they are defeating Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio. This is my favorite match of Hell in the Cell, believe it or not. I think this is going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a show stealer, and I'm looking forward to it. Sucks I can't watch it, but I'm really looking forward to hearing the results and, what's going to happen. But definitely looks like a match that that people might be looking forward to. This is like the first tag match, I would say, for the tag belts in a long time, and there is very big significance due to the tag team tournament and the team that has the belts right now.
How about you, John? What do you feel is going to happen at Hell in a Cell?
I think Hell No is going to retain. I think Kane and Bryan will retain. Although I'm starting to think maybe Matt Stryker joins up with Rhodes Scholars, maybe Monday night on Raw, and then I could see a rematch maybe at Survivor Series. But yeah, I think Kane and Bryan retain on Sunday.
Yeah, you know what, John? It's funny you mentioned Matt Stryker, because I had that same thought last night while I was watching the show, because Matt Stryker, he's a student of the game. He knows what he's doing. And he kind of used a little bit of psychology when he was backing up the ramp and talked a little bit of trash to Daniel Bryan and Kane. But then when Big Show came out and threw him down, I think that killed that idea. So I really don't see him getting involved. But it would be cool. I mean, he could be a great manager.
Stryker's not bad as a manager, though. I mean, he got Big Daddy V over for a little bit.
No, you're absolutely right. I think it could work, although, Rhodes and Damian Sandow
don't really need
a manager. But who knows? If you want to get this guy involved, that could be a great way to do it. So, moving along, I agree with you guys anyway. I think that I personally think Daniel Bryan and Kane retain. But moving along, the next match was Kofi Kingston defeating Michael McGillicuddy in a non-title match. It was completely non-title. But we got to see Michael McGillicuddy on Raw for the first time in a long time.
Who?
And he's Michael McGillicuddy, Mr. Perfect Son, former NXT guy and Nexus member. He hasn't been on Raw in a long time, and he looked pretty good. I mean, he busted out a couple nice suplexes, and rumor struck that Triple H seems to be a fan of Michael McGillicuddy and the work he's been doing. So, John, I'm going to throw this to you. Does this Michael McGillicuddy appearance mean that he's actually getting pushed up the card a little bit and he'll be showing up on Raw and SmackDown more often?
I hope so. I hope so. He's not bad in the ring. I mean, the name is, the name kind of defeats the purpose, especially when Jim Ross is acknowledging his family. But, yeah, I mean, he's not bad. And, hey, he's a Triple H guy, and ask Sheamus how that works out for you, let's do a little more with him.
How about you, Will? I mean, Mike McGillicuddy's been the type of guy who doesn't really have a gimmick, but, he seems to be – he looked intense last night, and he was looking pretty sharp in the ring. So what do you think is going to happen with McGillicuddy?
I'm going to say this with, utmost respect, that if it wasn't for his last name, I don't think he would be in the WWE. He just doesn't have anything that stands out. In fact, I remember when he was on NXT, I remember one single thing that I didn't like about him. His promo skills were terrible. And there's one promo I remember him doing that I was like, oh my God, that's Mr. Perfect's son? Like, there's no way he's going to be able to make it.
Sorry, it's like there's some people who have their last name of someone else, but they just don't have it. And I just don't, right now, where he's at, he needs a gimmick, a really good gimmick, to get him over. He's not going to be doing anything. I don't see any push happening for him.
Well, he's good in the ring, and he might be the type of wrestler
that doesn't mean anything. So is Tyson Kidd. So is all those other guys that are good in the ring, but they don't get any attention. So,
well,
like I told you, it's not about
the
wrestling.
That's what I'm getting at. Is like guys like this, like McGillicuddy and Tyson Kidd, they could really use, you know, some worldwide recognition to go over to Japan and work on their skills, to work maybe the Indies in America or ROH a little bit more or something to kind of help them develop a character. Guys like this who just don't have that it factor, where they don't have the natural charisma and all that stuff, they need to develop outside of the WWE system.
You know the perfect example of that, Jay? The perfect example was when A-Train left the WWE and became Giant Bernard in Japan, and he dominated Japan. You know, that's the kind of, or Davey Hart Smith's kind of doing the same thing. He's dominating Japan. So there are guys that are going over there, and MVP is another good one. He's getting some good recognition over there. And by the time they come back, they could be ready, unless they're given the Tensai treatment, then they might not. But they need to do more, and I think by developing outside of WWE, they can do better.
Yeah, I agree with you guys on that. So moving along on the show, I guess it remains to be seen about Mike McGillicuddy, but we had a John Cena CM Punk promo, pretty status quo. Cena putting over Ryback. Don't really need to talk about that. Justin Gabriel over Antonio Cesaro. I guess they're finally finding a guy that's going to challenge him for the United States title. And this is just, you know, same old shit on Raw. Not a big deal. How about AJ resigning as Raw general manager in a big twist of events? I mean, they kind of teased this earlier on in the day on WWE.com. You really didn't know what was going on. It was in AJ's home state right here in New Jersey. But AJ resigned. It turns out that she's been mingling with a WWE superstar, and that WWE superstar is John Cena. So this storyline is something that's kind of outside the box. I didn't see it coming at all. And Vicky Guerrero was named the new managing supervisor, I guess it is. I don't know how many fucking different roles they can come up with to run Raw, but the managing supervisor of Raw is now Vicky Guerrero. And this turn of events was, it kind of puzzled me, guys. What do you think, John? What do you think about this?
Okay, well, I kind of think that it came together rather quickly, especially after the talk that this was not going to happen and it was dying out. I kind of have some stuff as to where it may be going. I want to kind of save that for tomorrow night. But if you have any idea where Raw is next Monday, you might have an idea where this is headed. I'll leave it at that without getting into too much for tomorrow night.
Save it for tomorrow night. Will, what do you got to say about this?
Well, it was a good time for them to, do this. It was in AJ's home state. Obviously, the managing supervisor, the reason why they're doing that is because they don't want to call a general manager because she's probably not going to last. So I think that's the only reason why they didn't call her an interim or a general manager. I think it's going to be a temporary thing until they figure out a real fix for it. So, I mean, it was a nice little story that, AJ told and kind of educated us a little bit about her. So I did like that she kind of like this was it. But as far as the John Cena stuff goes, John Cena's divorced and he can do whatever he wants.
No, absolutely. I like this angle, actually. As you might know, I'm a big fan of AJ, and she deserves a spotlight. She's been working her ass off, and she did a great job with this, getting the emotion over what she needed to do, especially with the boss standing there in the ring, just staring at her the entire time, and she did a really, really good job. So I think this is probably going to lead to her getting back in the ring sometime down the road, but that remains to be seen.
The only problem I have with this whole thing was later in the night when Cena approached Vince and they were talking about the managing supervisor, Vince even turned to Cena and said, "I don't even know what that means. Dude, you own the company. How can they have something that you are not aware about, especially since you're the one that brought her back to the arena to announce her resignation?" That was the only thing that I thought was like, really, Vince? Like, you're going that route of incompetence now?
Yeah, it's just another role. Like, they could have just called her commissioner again or something. You didn't have to come up with a new role. There's been a million of these roles. It's been going on for years. So it remains to be seen, but it looks like it's
Can I be the managing
line.
Supervisor of PWB Radio?
No. Right now we have a caller, though, I'd like to take.
Because we're going to have people power.
It looks like our boy Seth is on the line. Seth, how you doing tonight, man?
Good. How are you?
What's up, Seth? How's it going? I'm great. What do you got to say tonight on the show? Any breaking news like last week?
No, but, you know, coming from someone who was at Raw last night, I wanted to give my take on the whole AJ situation. You know, obviously she's from New Jersey, and I remember reading a number of weeks ago how she missed being a wrestler. She missed being in the ring, and with WrestleMania being in New Jersey, I think she definitely wanted to be back in the ring in time for that. So I think that might have played a part in this. I think from the very beginning we all knew that this was just a temporary situation with her as GM. When she became GM, it didn't really make any sense. She was just this mentally unstable character. Why would you make that person the GM? So she's also leaving in a very random, weird kind of situation. But I like that it was in New Jersey, and they did that in New Jersey. The managing supervisor thing was pretty lame. Like you guys said, it's obviously another temporary thing. I would have liked for them to not have done this random thing, but it also brings up the idea that maybe this might be a way to split up Vicky Guerrero and Dolph Ziggler.
I have to agree with you there. I actually thought about that earlier today, and Dolph Ziggler, we've been talking about it in the past, he needs to be on his own. I mean, the guy can work, and he can work the mic pretty well, too. He does it in his own way, but he can definitely work the mic, and that's a great point, Seth. Any other comments from being there live, anything about the live crowd or what took place after Raw?
In terms of after Raw, you know, we had finished with the Sheamus Punk match, and Sheamus came out and gave a little promo to Big Show, calling him out for interfering in that Raw match and wanting to have a last man standing match right then and there against Big Show. It didn't turn out to be a huge last man standing match, but they did have a short match, probably just about 5 or 10 minutes, which ended with Sheamus giving Big Show the brogue kick.
Nice.
All right. Well, thanks, Seth. And you want to plug the show tomorrow night?
Yeah, absolutely. Please tune in, call in, and listen in to Oh, You Didn't Know tomorrow night at 9 p.m. right after main event. John and I know that he has a lot on his list of things to talk about. He mentioned a couple of them just before, and I have my own separate list, so you'll get a lot of different things going on tomorrow, so make sure you tune in.
All right, Seth, absolutely. Thanks for calling in tonight, man. We appreciate it, and once again, make sure you tune in tomorrow night right here on the PWP Radio Network. Thanks a lot, Seth.
No problem.
Talk to you tomorrow, man.
All right, so that was Seth Gutwrench with some live analysis from Monday Night Raw. He was there last night. I really wish I would have attended the show, but, you know, you can't go to them all, so that's just the way it is. But that's great that he gave us a little intake on what he thinks is going on with AJ and the future. So, you know, going on with the show, moving along, we had Ryback defeating The Miz once again. It was a typical Ryback squash, and he didn't seem to be as over in New Jersey as he's been in other states along the way, in other arenas, and I called this. I saw this comment. I was sitting with my buddy Nick last night, and we were watching this live, and I knew Jersey was going to kind of shit on him a little bit. It's just the way Jersey is. That's how we do things here. So Ryback over The Miz, and we'll talk a little bit more about Ryback later on, but this was definitely the match of the night, and quite frankly, could have been one of the matches of the year. I really enjoyed this match, and I kept tuned into Raw the whole time. I did not want to miss it. I didn't turn on the debate. I didn't turn on Monday Night Football. I watched Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan go toe-to-toe, and I love how Jim Ross brought up that this could be a future rivalry for a championship, a big-time rivalry in the WWE. So I'm going to kick it to my man Will Vasquez. What did you think of this match between Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan?
It was great work. It was the crowd was into it. It was the right – you're in the right area for this kind of a match to really, you know, make something really good out of it. I thought they did a tremendous job. These are two guys that we know can wrestle. We have no doubt about it. And when you put, like, two guys like this together,
My only downfall of it is that Daniel Bryan wasn't a singles competitor, because when you're a tag competitor, and you're in singles matches, you know pretty much who's going to win the match. You know, Dolph Ziggler needed that, because right now he's got nothing going on, and I think that he needs to, you know, that was the only downfall of it, is that I knew Dolph Ziggler was going to win, so.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I knew Ziggler was going to win as well. He needed the momentum, especially he's going in tomorrow night to main event, and he's going to fight Ryback. So he kind of needed that momentum, and that's exactly what he got. I mean, great match. He took a couple great bumps. But what did you think of this match, John?
I thought at least television-wise, out of every show that's on TV, that it's the match of the year. I thought it was phenomenal. Ziggler, again, proved he could sell contact lenses to a blind man. Jesus Christ, some of the bumps he took and how good he looked. Bryan was phenomenal. Even when he came out, it didn't take away from the match. And, you know, it served purposes. Like you guys both said, it kept Ziggler strong. And it even played into the Striker segment, which played into the beatdown by Team Road Scholars, which gave them extra, you know, momentum and heat going into the tag match. So it was off the charts. It was amazing.
Yeah, and this segued right into our next segment of the show, which was a goofy tag team game thing, and I wasn't a big fan of it, but really the only thing that came out of this that really means anything is Road Scholars attacked Daniel. Well, no, they didn't attack him. It went from this tag team game, which was stupid, into Big Show and Kane for the 1,000,000th time. Big Show defeats Kane, and then Road Scholars attack Daniel Bryan, and they attack Kane, and that kind of shows you in WWE pay-per-view logic that Team Hell No will retain in Hell in a Cell, but we talked about that already. But Big Show and Kane happened again, big fucking deal. Nobody gives a shit. Moving along, Alberto Del Rio squashed Zack Ryder. I like when he pulls the gimmick where he just tries to break the guy's arm off his fucking shoulder. You know, Ricardo Rodriguez screaming at Zack Ryder. Whatever, same old shit, nothing different here. But this leads into the main event, which is very good. And Raw knew that they needed to give a good main event. The creative team knew that there was a lot of competition on the air with President Obama against Mitt Romney and the Lions versus the Bears, like we said. But another Lumberjack match. I mean, we saw this on SmackDown last week. We already saw a Lumberjack match, but they pulled it out again. And I did see a cameo from one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. And, you know, that was William Regal. I finally got to see him on Raw once again. I love William Regal. Great professional wrestler. But CM Punk defeated Sheamus. And I just got to ask you guys, I'm going to ask Will first. This match, it's a champion versus champion match. It was teased recently. They did it on SmackDown. I'm sorry, they did it on Main Event. It's happening now on Raw with Lumberjack stipulations. What did you get from this match? Who did it help build? Did it help build Big Show for the pay-per-view, or did it help squash CM Punk? What did you get from this whole thing?
I think it helped Big Show, if anything, just because Big Show has been getting over on Sheamus all the time, and it does make it look like Sheamus is the weaker link going into that match. Big Show looks so strong going into this war with Sheamus, and Sheamus has been kind of toying it off, and now he got a wake up call tonight, and it cost him the match. I think, and the fact that nobody stopped Big Show from doing it just shows that people don't want to mess with that guy. So I think, you know, I mean, Punk cheated to win. That's, you know, so that's what a heel does. So it doesn't help anybody. It has to motivate Sheamus to want to kick this guy's ass, and that's what we need to see at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, Big Show's definitely been dominating the feud, and he's been the king of getting guys over. And you know, he's been the type of guy over the years to really help out these young talents. And Sheamus is still a young talent. He's been World Heavyweight Champion for many months now, but he's still pretty, I'm not going to say green, but he hasn't been around the block as many times as a guy like Big Show has. And a victory for Sheamus over Big Show at this big pay-per-view will do wonders, because, quite frankly, all we've gotten out of Sheamus recently are matches against Alberto Del Rio and Wade Barrett on TV. But, John, what did you get from this match? Who really benefited the most?
Well, it was, first of all, it was nice to know that Mason Ryan and Ted DiBiase still have jobs.
Ted DiBiase was actually on SmackDown. He wrestled Antonio Cesaro. Pretty good match.
Bam!
All right, well, that's what I get for fast-forwarding through my DVR. Okay, all right, smart guy. Mason Ryan still has a job, all right?
He was on Superstars.
Who watches Superstars? Big Show looked, came off really good. I mean, even just him standing there with that hoodie on, with the hood over his head for a little while, he just looked intimidating and strong. And yeah, he's been, and that segment in the back, which everyone is killing, may play into just, a little something here Sunday. When Sheamus had the doll on his face and he smacked the doll away, and he's like, you need to start getting serious. It shows that, Sheamus may have been taking him a little lightly and now realize that Joe's got his number and Joe could beat him, which again, like Will said, will make him, want to kick his ass someday. I mean, and Punk doesn't lose anything. The end with the Ryback run in, of course, made him look strong, getting his hands on Punk finally. And again, that creates the thing like, oh my God, how is Punk going to survive this on Sunday? So yeah, Big Show was probably the biggest winner in it all. And Ryback's probably a close second because, again, he finally got his hands on Punk and he dominated him.
Well, before we really talk about Ryback Punk, which we will in a moment because we're going to get to our Hell in a Cell prediction, but we have a caller. And that caller's got a 706 area code. So 706, you're on with PWP Radio. What's your name and where you're from?
Yo, this is Jay. This is Abe from Augusta, Georgia. How you doing, Jay?
Hey, how you doing, Abe? How's it going tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Just finished my homework, checking out this Bulls and Oklahoma City pregame.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Two solid teams here in the NBA. But,
hey, congrats on the Giants winning Sunday.
Man. I'll tell you what, the Giants fucking pumped me up Sunday, man. I sat on my ass the whole time to watch that game, and Victor Cruz and Eli came through again in the clutch. But, Abe, what do you got to say tonight?
Well, I watched them on Raw last night, and I am going to say that I am glad that we are having new guys in the main event, like Ryback. I know some bashman in there saying he's not the greatest, work, all that crap, but in my opinion, I think it's a great feud for him. He is in the main event slot. I like how they didn't make him look good last night, saying they did beat the former WWE Intercontinental Champion. I think doing very well. I am good for Chris as far as the Big Show, how they are making him look really like he's going to beat Sheamus this Sunday if that does happen. Either way, I think Sheamus will benefit in the long run because he is getting a feud with another main event guy. I think they're going to do good showing how diversity's work has become over the last year.
Well, I agree with you there, man. I mean, Ryback getting pushed to this main event level is definitely a breath of fresh air, and I'm all for it, man. There are a lot of haters out there, but I'm definitely for this. The guy is intimidating as all hell. He looks like just a badass son of a bitch, and in every way you could think about it, he just looks believable and real, and he looks like he can just absolutely kick your ass if you ask him to or whatever, or if you ask for a fight with him. He just looks like the type of guy that you want to be trapped in a cage with, and that is the whole point, Abe, right?
Yes, of course, especially in Hell in a Cell where it's made to make the big guy seem like the most unstoppable. This is the perfect match for him, and I think, in my opinion, he's going to dominate this match about 70%. And if, let's say, he does lose, it may happen, but he's going to look really great coming out of this match. And in my opinion, next year when the Rumble comes, he's going to be a big, heavy favorite, and you never know what can happen.
Hey, that's a good point. I mean, Royal Rumble's coming around the corner and even Survivor Series. So thanks for calling, Abe. We appreciate it, man.
No problem. Have a good night.
You too, brother. So that was Abe from Georgia, and he's with me on this, man. I think Ryback deserves his main event push, and it's something that is new and different. And, I enjoy it. I just enjoy what they're doing. Whenever they do something out of the box like this, I get a kick out of it, So we're going to talk a little bit more about Ryback and Punk momentarily. But right now, official Hell in a Cell preview and just predictions pretty much. We're just going to go match by match of what's booked right now and give you who we think is going to win and why. I'm going to start with my man Will, Randy Orton against Alberto Del Rio. Will, who do you think is going to win and why?
I'll be honest. I don't even care, and it doesn't affect anything in the outcome. That's just my truth. Honestly, this is a match I just do not care about. Randy Orton's been off TV, obviously filming. They wanted to put him on the show. This is what they had to put him in. And to be honest, I don't think anybody's invested. I'm sure it's going to be fun and nice to watch, but I don't know. Whoever wins, I don't know what the benefit's going to be with the winner, I'll be honest. So if I had to predict someone that was going to win, they should put Alberto Del Rio because he's the one on freaking television. So that's my opinion.
All right, John, what do you think, Randy Orton, Alberto Del Rio?
Going with Del Rio because I really want this to start to be the catalyst for the Orton heel turn. It's time. Enough of this crap that you're not sure about Sheamus. It's been 6-7 months. You know, like Will said, Orton hasn't been on TV. Orton's begging to go heel, and a loss and a clean loss at that to Del Rio on Sunday could really start to be the catalyst for this.
Well, I think that there will be a clean winner in this match. I don't see anything, you know, tricky happening. I think Alberto Del Rio will be your winner. He's been built up like a beast the last few weeks, and the feud with Orton hasn't really been that bad, and SmackDown has actually been featuring it. It is definitely either the number two feud on the show, and I mean, I know Kane and Daniel Bryan get a lot of time on both shows, but Alberto Del Rio and Orton have closed the show with their feud a couple times in the last month or so, so I think that Alberto Del Rio is the guy that, you know, especially going into the Survivor Series and pay-per-views in the future, he's the type of guy that you want to regain his momentum after losing to Sheamus month after month after month, and like you said, John, I agree, Randy Orton needs to turn heel as soon as possible. So moving along on this, we got Kofi Kingston, all right? Kofi Kingston defending his Intercontinental Championship against The Miz in a rematch. And I don't even know if I want to ask you this question, Will, because I just have a feeling I already know who you think is going to win this match. But go ahead. Tell me anyway.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the winner and the new Intercontinental Champion of the world, it is going to be The Miz. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he's just awesome.
All right. I predicted it. I knew it was going to be The Miz. If you guys,
oh, you didn't know.
I knew you were going to
call somebody.
If you guys want to call in and talk about this, if you have a prediction for Hell in a Cell, call in right now at 760-888-5749. But my man John, who do you think is going to win this match? The Miz getting a rematch against Kofi Kingston?
I'm going with Miz as well. I think the title change was more so done just to put the importance of the main event show out there, that anything can happen on that show. But, yeah, I'm going with Miz. There's no reason why he should not be running around with the IC strap right now.
Thank you.
And it makes me wonder, guys. I know Kofi hit Miz in the face with this vicious kick, and we talked about it last week, and the Miz may or may not have had a bad concussion, but are they really going to just give
fine.
Kofi – are they really going to give Kofi the belt for a week? Is that something they really want to do with this?
I think it was only done. I'm dead serious when I say it. I think this was only done just because it was the main event. They really are looking to push the hell out of that show, and I really think it was done only for that.
Well, I'm going to go the other way with this, guys. I agree with your point. I think that they want to get the main event show over, and they want to show that things will happen, so you want to tune in and watch it. But they gave away We had breaking news last week. They gave away the result on WWE.com and on Twitter and on all these social media networks and shit that Kofi won the belt. They had a big picture with him with the belt, so I don't know if that really helped.
Well, that was smart because, you know what, why not put it out there, especially with the spoilers? And I mean, they don't really do that with the lesser titles, but whenever there's, like, a world heavyweight title change, like on SmackDown, they've done that before. That's nothing new. They've done it. They just haven't done it with the lesser titles, and I guess they figured, you know what, with the way social media and news sites are, why ignore it?
Well, I'm going the other way. You know, your argument is great, John and Will, great arguments, but I'm saying that Kofi's going to get a well-deserved babyface run with the Intercontinental Championship and move on to bigger and better things than The Miz. So, next match.
Hey, that's not nice.
Next, well, you know, sometimes you got to be a mean guy. So next match, we talked about this before a little bit, but let's get official predictions right now. Team Hell No will defend their tag team championships against the Rhodes Scholars. I hate calling them Team Rhodes Scholars. It should just be the Rhodes Scholars. I like it better. But, Will, who do you think is going to win the Tag Team Championship?
Yeah, I mean, I still think after all of our wonderful discussion that, by the way, can be heard at blogtalkradio.com/PWP Powerhouse. I didn't say that right at all. But I do believe that it's got to be Team Hell No. They got to keep that momentum going until fans start to get a little bored of it. And they have T-shirts to sell, folks.
That's a good point. I mean, you look at the marketing aspect of it, and, yeah, T-shirts to sell. You're absolutely right. And how about you, John?
No.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going with Hell No here. Like I said earlier, I expect them to retain here, although I don't think this program will end on Sunday, but I do expect them to hold on to the belts.
All right, and this makes number three. We're 3 for 3 on this match. Daniel Bryan and Kane have just been on fire. They've been doing everything that they've been asked to do and getting it over really, really well. So Team Hell No will retain the World Tag Team Championships at Hell in a Cell, but we've got a caller. We've got a caller on the line, and it's my man, the TNA Impact Insight reviewer. And just before I click him in, Mr. Touch of Grey, Matt Gration, actually got a retweet from Hulk Hogan, but he has just dropped the call. I was just about to click him in, and he dropped the call. But anyway,
all that hype for nothing.
All the hype, yeah, all the hype.
Yep.
He got a retweet from Hulk Hogan. And, you know, that's awesome. I mean, I personally sent Hulk his Impact Bound for Glory review, and Hulk Hogan retweeted it. So that's fucking cool. But Matt's gone. He dropped the call. No big deal. And let's continue with our Hell in a Cell predictions. There's only, it looks like, 5 matches booked. I'm not sure if they're going to have filler matches, probably. But Sheamus will defend the World Heavyweight Championship against The Big Show. And Will, what do you think is going to happen here, my man?
Well, we have to remember one fact, that we do know that Dolph Ziggler does want to cash in his Money in the Bank contract at Hell in a Cell. He has admitted that. So I don't know what the outcome is, but I would not be surprised if Dolph Ziggler is going to walk out as the new World Heavyweight Champion at Hell in a Cell. I think Sheamus will beat the Big Show, or it could be the situation where Big Show wins the belt again. Someone screws him, and then Dolph Ziggler comes out and cashes it in. So I think Dolph Ziggler will be the new World Heavyweight Champion.
Before I get John's take on this, I just want to let everybody know who's listening that we're going to definitely go into overtime tonight. We've got 12 minutes left in the live show, and we're going to go into overtime. We're going to get our best and worst Hell in a Cell matches. Probably just a few minutes into it, but we're still probably going to go into overtime. We'll start it here on the live show, but if it goes in overtime, definitely go to iTunes and download and rate and comment. Please check PWP Radio out on iTunes. But back to Sheamus versus Big Show. How about you, John? What do you think? Sheamus versus the Big Show at Hell in a Cell.
Sheamus is retaining. That's for sure. Big Show's been built up too much and looked too strong on Sheamus. For him to drop the Big Show. I'm not exactly 100% on board with Ziggler cashing in. I think Ziggler's going to cash in a little more under the table, so I'm not sure where I am with Ziggler yet. I mean, I guess SmackDown will determine that, but I'm willing to go as far as Sheamus retaining. I don't know if I'm willing to put anything on the table yet as far as Ziggler.
Yeah, I would really like the idea of Ziggler cashing in, because he said he was going to cash in. And how often does a heel really, you know, guarantee something and actually follow?
Never.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often. So I hope Ziggler cashes in, but I hope the cash in is done on Sheamus. I think Sheamus is going to win the match. It's going to be a brawl. It's going to be brutal. I can see these guys really working their ass off. You know, believe it or not, I've been a hater of Sheamus. But something that I will always say is that he works his ass off to get better each week. And I think Sheamus defeats the Big Show with the bro kick, knocks him out, and then Ziggler comes out, cashes in, and becomes a new World Heavyweight Champion. So I got Sheamus in this match. Now, the main event. And also, just go back to Sheamus and Big Show. I kind of hoped that this match would be inside the Hell in a Cell. But no big deal. One Hell in a Cell this coming Sunday is perfect. So speaking of that, CM Punk will defend against Ryback, and we promised to talk about Ryback earlier on in the show, and we're going to get to it right now. So my man TLD, Will, you know, Ryback versus Punk, who's going to win?
It looks like Ryback's going to win. It really does look that way. I really hope it's not, because I think CM Punk needs that belt until he faces The Rock. So I really hope that doesn't happen. But I tell you, this is probably one of the first times where I'm 50-50 split on this. I just don't know who's going to be the winner of this match. It's kind of hard, but I have to go with CM Punk. I think he needs to have that steam. I think he needs to have that one-year-long reign. I don't know how he's going to pull it off. There's going to have to be some kind of controversy getting involved with that. I don't know how they're going to be able to do it, but CM Punk needs to be the champion.
All right, John, what do you think?
I'm going draw, Punk retains. I could see them going through the cell, some crap like that. There's no way I could see this. Punk can't lose, like Will said. The whole thing with the time period, he needs to carry that belt and brag about this reign heading into the Royal Rumble and beyond. This is not the stage for Ryback to lose. That's why, I mean, this is the worst match for this feud, especially with the circumstances. And I think also we're gonna get an appearance from Super Cena, which may play a factor in it. Punk's walking out with the title. I'm going with that. How he
All
does
right,
it,
so
I got no
we've
idea.
We've got two for CM Punk, and today on the social media network, on Twitter, on Facebook, I was talking about this with some people, and I was saying that Ryback, and I think Ryback is going to win, but as I thought about it tonight when I was, you know, hanging and banging at the gym, brother, it came to my realization that this match has been built up so much in Ryback's favor that there's no way he can win. You know, eventually the guy's going to lose, and they don't want him to be Goldberg. They don't want him to be undefeated year after year, month after month, whatever. So I really think that somehow, some way, CM Punk will retain, whether it's, you know, Brock Lesnar. I'm going to stick with what I said last week. I'm going to say that Brock Lesnar somehow gets involved, throwing his name back in the hat, rips the fucking cage door off or something along the line, steals the key from the referee, whatever. Brock Lesnar comes in the ring.
Mark Henry.
Destroys Mark Henry. That would be fucking funny. But, Maybe Mark Henry.
Henry was awesome in his run last year. Why not bring Henry back? You think you're the dominant guy? No, I'm the dominant guy.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point, man. I didn't even think of Mark Henry, although I did think of him earlier on in the summertime as a potential opponent for Ryback. I haven't thought of him in a long time, but maybe he could be a guy too. But I'm holding out for Brock Lesnar because I think a Brock Lesnar-Ryback match at some point could be really cool because, you know, Brock Lesnar's been this, like, believable, unbeatable machine, and they're building up Ryback to be the same. So I'm going to say CM Punk wins, retains the WWE Championship, is the first man to defeat Ryback because Brock Lesnar interferes in the match and helps him win. So that's the card. That's what we think is going to take place, and I promised it. We've got 6 minutes left in the show. The best and worst Hell in a Cell matches of all time. We're probably going to fumble into overtime just a little bit. And if you want to hear the rest, definitely check out the archive version or download on iTunes, please. But I'm going to go to Will on this because we're going to start with the worst. We're going to save the best for last. Give me, you know, a couple of the worst Hell in a Cell matches of all time and why.
Ooh, I got to pick a worst. The worst, one of my favorite ones, I got to pick a worse one.
Yeah, there's
really
one that are obvious. Think hard. There's obvious ones out there.
There was one on Raw that I know I didn't like. I think it was Kane and Mankind. I think that was the one that didn't stand out for me. I think they did have one. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
Kane
and Mankind, the
yeah,
World Before SummerSlam 98.
Yes. Let me just chime in on that.
Hold on, Will. Let me just chime in on that for a second, because I actually loved that Hell in a Cell match. I thought it was fantastic because you had the Undertaker on top of the cell trying to rip through it, because Austin came in from – Austin was under the ring the whole time and was beating the holy hell out of Kane with a chair. Undertaker could knock it in. Vince McMahon raised the cell, and you saw Undertaker – and you saw this shot, this wide shot, I'll never forget it, of Undertaker on top of the cell with Austin flipping the bird and continually laying stunners on the Kane. So I thought it was absolutely awesome, but go ahead.
All right, well then, okay, you totally contradicted. I don't think a Hell in a Cell should ever be on a Raw. That's just my, you know, that should be something you got to pay for. You know, just like, you know, you didn't see War Games on a Nitro, or you didn't see World War III on a Nitro. I think something like that should be kept special, just the Elimination Chamber or even a Royal Rumble. You know, those matches should be kept off Raw, and you're probably right, but I'm sorry, it escapes me. But I can't give you my good one, because I'm not going to stay for overtime, because I got a shower, my man.
Yeah,
so,
go ahead, Will. Go for it.
All right, so I got my three top ones, and these are probably three of the top ones for everybody. Obviously, Undertaker versus, you know, well, obviously, most of them are Undertaker. But Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, obviously, is going to be one of the most, is the launching pad for Brock Lesnar as a legit world champion. And then you have the six-man Hell in a Cell at Armageddon, which I thought was great because you had six of the top stars at the time in that ring, which was a phenomenal match and such so strange to watch. And, of course, Mankind versus The Undertaker, King of the Ring, watching that live. I'll never forget that moment in my life, you know, with my two friends watching it with me. Just a moment in wrestling history with that one. It was what made that Cell match what it is.
All right, Will, I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm going to say one of the worst Hell in a Cell matches of all time was that six-man Hell in a Cell at Armageddon. I absolutely hated it. I hated it. I did not like it at all, man. I just thought it was a clusterfuck, and Kurt Angle won, and I was really pissed off at the time, but I was just a kid. But
Are you a wrestling fan?
Diehard, but I just didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. Personally,
yeah,
I liked
the
build-up to it.
The clusterfuck angle of that match, it played into the backstory of it, where Vince was against having it, but Foley was the commissioner, and Foley was all for it. And then there was stuff about, you know, if someone got injured, I think Foley was going to have to resign. So the whole clusterfuck aspect of it was actually playing into what was going on at that time. And then you get in the fact that of all the people that match, Angle's the guy that walks in champion and walks out. Is actually what makes that actually really good, to be honest with you.
All right, so there we go. We've got a little controversy, and that's great. But personally, it's on my list of one of the worst. I did not enjoy it, but let me get two more of my worst ones out of the way. I really wasn't a big fan of Mark Henry versus Randy Orton in the Hell in a Cell. I just thought I liked the fact that Mark Henry went over clean, but I just wasn't a big fan of the match in general. And the next one, I was at live. And it was like 10 minutes, and it was a fucking squash. The Undertaker squashed CM Punk to become the World Heavyweight Champion at Hell in a Cell 2009, I believe. And
I went to that as well.
Yeah, big, big disappointment. And just one last one. I didn't like Triple H versus Cactus Jack, because at the time, this is at No Way Out in 2000. At the time, I just hated Triple H so much, and I really wanted Mick Foley to win. So that match will always have a sour taste in my mouth. So, John, let's swing it over to you. We've got about 60 seconds left.
All right. Worst ones, Kevin Nash, Triple H at Bad Blood. I mean, for the obvious reason, it's Kevin Nash. I didn't like Batista, Triple H at, Bad Blood again in 05. And as another bad one, yeah, I'm with you. Undertaker Punk sucks because it was basically a squash. But yeah, those were the three bad ones for me. The three best ones for me, besides the obvious ones, Undertaker, Foley, and the six man, is obviously Undertaker Shawn Michaels, the first one. Like I said, Undertaker Foley, and I actually enjoyed on Raw, about June of 98, the Undertaker and Austin against Kane and Mankind in just a clusterfuck tag match. And I think I think that one even, that's the one that had Austin on top of the cage just chair shot the
job,
hell out
job.
Of.
We're going into overtime, man. Join us tomorrow on iTunes. All right, so we're now in overtime. I'm sorry to cut you off, John, but I had to just give a little shout-out to everybody who was listening live on the show. But sorry to cut you off, man, and
we'll
put you
cool.
back on. Yeah, go right ahead. Continue what you were saying about this, the tag match, which I remember very
yeah.
well. I remember
yeah,
it very well. And
it was
kind of just a free brawl, right?
Yeah, and it actually went up against, and this is why I remember it, because it actually went up against Nitro at the Nassau Coliseum, and I was at Nassau Coliseum, but where I was sitting, I guess, is where they had, like, the little suite, and everybody who I could see that had a suite had Raw on, which was quite funny to see. But, yeah, that was just a clusterfuck brawl. That's when Austin ends up on top of the cage, and I think it's Kane just beats the piss out of Whit with a chair on top of it. I think it was heading into King of the Ring. I think it was the Raw, one or two Raws before King of the Ring, which was setting up the Austin Kane match and Undertaker Foley. So those would be my best ones and my worst ones, to be honest with you. And I'm probably missing one or two there. I think the McMahon's and DX was actually ended up not being bad either. But, you know, yeah, those would be my main ones I would go with.
It was the McMahon's and Big Show versus DX.
That's right,
They really wanted to stack the deck. But we're not going to have a long overtime tonight. I just knew we'd run over, and I wanted to announce it. But I'm going to get to my favorite Hell in a Cell matches of all time. And I have a lot of them because I really, really love this match. I mean, they kind of beat the shit out of it in 1998 a little bit, 1999 in the Attitude Era. And then I think in the 2000s, especially in the early to mid-2000s, they used this match the right way. They didn't overdo it. It wasn't overkill. And they kind of, you know, they worked it into big feuds, and they only did it when it mattered. So one of my favorite Hell in a Cell matches of all time was Triple H versus Chris Jericho at Judgment Day 2002.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, awesome fucking match, man. It wasn't the end of the show because you had Hogan defending against
Hogan
the Undertaker
Taker.
To end it.
Yeah.
And if anyone's listening who collects wrestling DVDs, this pay-per-view is like the holy grail of wrestling DVDs. It is one
yes,
of the most
is.
Rare ones.
It was.
Go ahead, John.
It's very hard to I'm sorry to cut you off, Jay. As a guy that has everything, I mean everything except TNA, this was one of the, besides the early In Your Houses, this was one of the hardest things for me to get on original DVD.
Yeah, exactly. I was lucky enough to pick it up back then, as soon as it came out when I was, I believe 2002, I was like 17 years old, or 16 or 17, yeah, and, no, actually, what the fuck am I talking? Yeah, 17 or 18 years old. So I used to pick up all the WWE DVDs when they came out, man. And I picked this one up immediately because I loved the Triple H and Jericho match. And I also have it on VHS, believe it or not. I used to tape all the pay-per-views that I'd order. So I have this shit on VHS.
Nice, yeah.
It was the first Hell in a Cell match. And I think the only one, you might be able to correct me on this, but I think the only one that actually ended on top of the cell. Triple H and Jericho got on top. Triple H pedigrees Jericho and is victorious. The only thing I didn't like is I was a big, and still am, a big Chris Jericho fan, and I really, really wanted him to win. So I thought that was a great match, and it was perfect how they used it. I mean, their feud was
their feud was
building for years and culminated at WrestleMania, but there was still bad blood, and they had to kind of get the bad taste out of their mouths with their feud over the fucking Triple H's dog or whatever the fuck, and Stephanie involved. So they got it out of our mouths with...
It's a shame that if the WrestleMania match had even half the build and half the heat that the Hell in a Cell match had, that WrestleMania match would have come off a million times better.
Exactly. And that's the only reason why it sucked, is that you couldn't really follow Rock Hogan, and it's just the storyline building up blew. So another one I'm going to say is the original Hell in a Cell, man. The original one is a trailblazer. Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker at Bad Blood 1997. It is known forever as the day that Kane was born and brought into
That's gotta be Kane.
Absolutely one of the most classic calls in the history of professional wrestling when Kane debuted. But this match was so good in so many ways. You know, it was bloody enough, brutal enough. They had real heat heading into it, and it was two of the all-time greats, man. Even at the time, even in 1997, The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels were solidifying themselves as the great.
What gets lost in that match is, I mean, yeah, it was the debut of Kane, and it was the sick bump Michaels took off the side of the cage onto the table. But that match was actually booked as the winner of that match would get Bret Hart at Survivor Series. That's the one thing with that match that never gets mentioned, that always gets forgotten. But that was actually a number one contenders match between the two of them.
Yeah, you know what? I forgot about that too, so I'm glad you brought that up. That's awesome. So this is a trailblazer type match. Definitely one of the all-time greats. And I know Will brought up Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. That's another one on my list. We won't talk anymore about that. It was absolutely fantastic, though. But this one, I feel, is kind of underrated in the scope of things. And their feud deserved it. And I was there on this night, and I'm glad there was a clean winner, and I'm glad the guy who won. And it was Randy Orton against John Cena at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view in 2009, man. Now listen, hear me out. A lot of people don't like it, but their feud was brewing for a while. They were arguably the top two stars in the business at the time. And this match had a clean ending. I mean, John Cena lost cleanly to Randy Orton inside the Hell in a Cell, and they couldn't do blood, I know that. They had to work with what they had, but they beat the shit out of each other in this match, and I really enjoyed it.
You know what? I grunted at it a minute ago, but you know what? You're right. Orton did beat Cena clean. You know what? You're right. That works.
It's an absolute rare occurrence, especially when you looked at the feud between these two guys, and they fought, you know, month after month. They had I Quit match and an Iron Man match, and they had every gimmick match you could think of. And it's a feud that kind of flies under the radar a little bit, because of the time period it was in and all that stuff, and because these guys have just done so much in the WWE over the course of the last decade. And it flies under the radar, but to really put a scope on it, this was the only fucking match in the entire feud that truly ended cleanly. I mean, they were locked in the cell, they beat the hell out of each other, and Randy Orton shocked everybody, including myself that night, because I thought for sure Cena was going to win, shocked everyone, and this is something I don't remember, John. Maybe you could refresh my memory. Did he win the title or did he retain the title that night?
No,
he won the title.
He won the title because Cena won it at it was Bragging Rights was the pay-per-view before. Cena beat him there, I think, in the Iron Man match. And then, yeah, because they traded the belt back and forth during that spurt. Orton won the title that night.
So Orton won the belt, and I just thought it was, you know, a great match. And to move along my list, I had Kane versus Mankind, as Will brought up, as one of his worst. But I thought it was fantastic because, and I'm just going to bring it up for another second here. I don't know if you remember this, but Mankind had gotten attacked earlier in the night by Kane and The Undertaker. And they tried to wheel him out on a stretcher, and he escaped the medics, and he rolled down the ramp on the stretcher and rolled directly into the ring, and challenged Kane to the match.
And the ironic part is they were tag team champions. They were going to SummerSlam to face the Outlaws.
Yeah, and we all know what happened there, and, you know, oh, you didn't know? The Outlaws, they ended up fighting Mankind practically absolutely 2-on-1. And beat the piss out of him that night. But I really enjoyed that. I thought it was a cool angle heading into the Highway to Hell and all that stuff. Since I just brought that up, that I think was one of the best built pay-per-views of all time. But
SummerSlam 98 was amazing.
Yeah, it'll be a subject for another show. I mean, hopefully this radio show makes it into next summer where we'll talk about our favorite SummerSlams. But because when we make it in the next SummerSlam, it'll be a year for PWP Radio. So
there you go.
This is a question I didn't tell you guys I was going to ask this question, but it's something I thought about earlier today. And I'm going to ask you, John, since Will already left. And I just want to do this overtime thing for a few more minutes, and then we'll let you go. But think about two wrestlers from, let's say, the 80s who have never been in a Hell in a Cell match that you would like to see compete in one, and why. Give me two guys. And against each other, John. Think of it as, like, two guys who are in just, like,
I'll give you a perfect feud that Hell in a Cell would have worked for. Hogan Savage.
Absolutely, I like it.
If there was ever a feud that could have went to Hell in a Cell, it was Hogan Savage. And Hogan Savage 89, that feud, and it's a shame it took that long for their work to get onto pay-per-view, because I remember being a little kid going to the Garden for one of their matches when they did like 3 months in a row. But yeah, Hogan Savage would be the feud that, to me, right off the bat, you're asking me two guys that could have went, you know, Hell in a Cell. Maybe even Warrior Rude, because that feud for the unofficial year and a half that it went was also good. But yeah, Hogan Savage.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't think of it as one, but that would have been fucking awesome. Hulk Hogan versus Randy Savage. I just had this vision in my head earlier today of Hulk Hogan inside the Hell in a Cell sometime in the 80s or early 90s, just like with a bloody crimson mask and just hulking up in front of the crowd in the middle of the cell. I just think it would have been an awesome visual. And
that would work.
That's a great one. And I always remember...
What did you have?
I'm going to go a little bit different here, and I didn't want to use Hogan because I wanted to kind of be a little creative, but Hogan was the first guy that popped in my head. But I would have loved to see Randy Macho Man Savage and fucking Ultimate Warrior. Now, I'm going to go into the early 90s a little bit. I know I said the 80s.
Yeah.
Before, these guys fucking hated each other. I mean, they had the career-ending match. You know, Randy Savage cost Warrior the title. And if this match would have built up to a Hell in a Cell and you trap Macho Man, who was a fucking heel, and he was the Macho King, and he was like the giant pussy at that point in time, if you trapped him in there with the Ultimate Warrior, I think you would have had a fucking hell of a match, man.
The
Hell in a Cell.
Warrior Savage, yeah. That would have worked.
And I would have also liked to see the Hockey Talk Man trapped in there with somebody, you know. Just I always think of it. That's why I think CM Punk is great to put in there with Ryback this coming Sunday, because CM Punk has been, you know, he's a heel now, and he's supposed to be a scaredy cat and running away, and I think he's the perfect guy to actually get over in this fashion where he's just going to be scared shitless of Ryback, you know what I mean? So, and
yeah.
And speaking of that, I know I'm going to go a little bit off topic. I actually listened to the Brooklyn Brawler on The Art of Wrestling with Cole Cabana on my road trip back from Kentucky. And he talked about guys that, you know, that reminded him today of guys from the past. You know what I mean? He said CM Punk is so much like Randy Savage that you would not believe it in just so many ways, how they carry themselves backstage, their style in the ring, the psychology they use. And he just said he's a splitting image of Randy Savage, which I think is fucking awesome, you know, because...
Yeah, that's a hell of a compliment. And,
absolutely.
You know, since you're going there about Savage, since, you know, to kind of drift off to a different topic again, but talking about Savage, it's... I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but if you get a chance, there's a Lanny Poffo kayfabe interview coming out. And if this guy is not the sole reason why Savage is not in the Hall of Fame, then I don't know what is. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but I just think Poffo is trying to use his brother to get the fame that he never had.
Oh, I agree with you. I actually thought about this recently because what Poffo wants, the genius or whatever the fuck you want to call him, Mr. Cartwheel in the ring, but before Sandow did it, but he... wants the whole family to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I don't know if it's just a way to generate income for himself, to get that Legends contract, or if it's a way to give his, you know,
father...
Yeah,
which is weird because before Savage died, that was never out there, that it was that, you know, he would do it if it was all three of them. It was always never done because Vince wasn't ready to pull the trigger on it. You know, those were the stories going around. This whole story about, you know, oh, Randy wanted my dad and Randy wanted me in, I never heard that. And, of course, unfortunately, with Savage dead, there's no way to, confirm it. But, yeah, I never heard that.
I think it was just a matter of time before Savage got into the Hall of Fame. Quite frankly, I think they probably would have waited to do it in the Garden this year or at WrestleMania 30 next year because it seemed like that relationship between WWE and the Macho Man Randy Savage was just starting to get rekindled again with, you know, him being in the video games and them coming out with action figures, which are awesome, you know. And he even cut that little promo talking about, oh, yeah, I got the action figure, you know. And it was something that was inevitable. I'll tell you what, man, I know you're a big Randy Savage fan. I can just tell by the way you're talking about him, but I am a fucking huge Randy Savage fan. I absolutely love the Macho Man, and God rest his soul.
I love Savage. When he died, I bought the old school 1985 purple T-shirt with the sunglasses on it. I mean, yeah, Savage was just awesome.
Yeah, and I believe that his legacy will live on, whether he is in the WWE Hall of Fame or not, because, you know, they're going to continue to produce Macho Man Randy Savage stuff. I mean, I could even see them doing another DVD at some point in time or including him in another DVD package somehow, some way, you know.
You do an unreleased pack, you know, unreleased matches, you know. Also, I mean, there's the figures have been great since they released them, but there's a great Punk Savage 2-pack which has the Punk tribute outfit on. And it's just, I've seen it online someplace. It's just a great set.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're into that kind of stuff, definitely go out and pick that one up because I saw that one in my local Target a few months ago, and I almost bought it. I mean, I don't really buy action figures at all, but I almost bought it just because I marked out for it so hard. But, so we kind of went off topic a little bit, but I'd like to thank you, John, for joining us here tonight once again, and go ahead, plug your show one more time because people might download tomorrow on iTunes and listen.
Yeah, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, me and Seth, though you didn't know, got a lot of stuff. Again, you know, like I said, I got a lot of stuff on the AJ situation. Got something on a big name rumored to be a surprise World Rumble entrant, and it's not Undertaker because that's been the rumor out there this week. I know Seth's got a lot of stuff. He was at Raw last night. I know he was at Ringside Saturday, which I would have loved to have gone to. I just fell asleep on the wheel on that one. So, yeah, check it out. We're going to give it a go and see what we can do for ourselves and, you know, see where it goes. We'll tie the two shows in together and do a lot of great things like we've been doing.
All right, John. Thanks a lot. Definitely listen to Oh, You Didn't Know. It's going to be a weekly show, your news and rumors from the world of WWE and TNA. But before we leave you tonight, I'm just going to let everybody know that's listening to please go to Facebook and join us at facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. We are updating it constantly, cool pictures, videos, unique insight on professional wrestling. A lot of us we have a lot of admins that talk about their different views, and we tweet and update the page live during Raw and SmackDown. So definitely check it out, facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. You could always follow me at PW Powerhouse. That's our official Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Twitter. And please go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and get in on the fun. We have a brand new discussion system called Discuss with a Q at the bottom of each and every single blog and article, and we have a lot of fresh content up right now. I still have to upload a couple more articles. I've got one from you, John, and I've got the latest edition of Matt Gration's Impact Insight.
The dream roster.
Yeah, I still have to upload that, man. I haven't forgot about it, but I'm going to get it
cool.
done. Yeah, and I'm going to write something soon, too. So I'm going to have a brand-new, fresh article for you guys on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. So thanks a lot for listening, everybody. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate and subscribe and comment. It helps with the algorithm. It helps bring us up in the rankings because, quite frankly, we should be a lot higher than we are. We're falling below some of these shows that don't even fucking exist anymore. They don't even make them anymore, and somehow we are below. But we get an awful lot of listens on blogtalkradio.com. I really appreciate that. keep listening on blogtalkradio.com. You could also listen on prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. And just keep up to date with our community. You can join our group on Facebook. You can do anything you want to pitch in. And don't forget, definitely submit your top 20 wrestlers of all time. We need those lists. Submit them to prowrestlingpowerhouse@gmail.com. So for Will Vasquez, John DiMaselli, Seth Gutwrench calling in, Abe Freeman calling in. We had a lot of calling tonight. It was an absolute great show. Thanks, everybody, and definitely keep it real.
Later.
I'm a mad man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.